May be seated and turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, but we have been studying an exciting series, and Pastor Ricky has preached one of the articles and I preached the others, but we've been doing a series on sound doctrine, and tonight we're going to conclude this series, and tonight we're talking about the Great Commission. You got a handout. If you didn't get one of the handouts, I want you to raise your hand and you'll get one. But the handout on the Great Commission, where it's given in five places, that's worth coming to church for tonight. That's free. Take it home, study it, and look at what the Lord has commissioned you to do. But sound doctrine, it helps us to build our paths on the ancient landmarks that people of like precious faith have already laid. See, our roots go all the way back to the day of Pentecost. And so this is not something new. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. I promise you that. But we've been reviewing the 14 articles of faith of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. Tonight, we have come to Article 14, as I said earlier, the Great Commission. There are millions of people that are not saved. And the Lord has commissioned His church to preach and to witness and to tell about the gospel and to gather in the end time harvest. So you are commissioned. And God is a generational God. 2 weeks ago, we had a girl 14 years of age that got saved. This past Sunday, we had an individual that was 83 years young that got born again right here in this altar. And that person had told me back last fall, they said, "You're about to convince me." I just kept praying, kept preaching. And her sister was in the hospital, and they expected her to die, and she asked me to go up and talk to her sister, which I did. She was in intensive care, had all those tubes running down her, and they expected her to die. But her sister came out of that hospital. The family was ready for it. Everybody thought she was going to. They were visiting from all over. She went home. This person told me, said, "I've been taking care of her cats," said, "but she's starting to take care of her cats now." Give the Lord a clap offering of praise. God is a great God. And God is a generational God. Look at that. From the silent generation, somebody in the 80s, they called a silence. I don't know why, but they're the money people. And they got money. Amen. And then you've got the Z generation over here, and they run from like 19 to just a child just being born. They haven't even identified the Z generations yet, but I promise you one thing. The millennials, they are pretty good with technology. And this Z generation, all they will know is technology. So thank God. But, you know, think about God being a generational God. And that means that every generation must be evangelized. So Paul, in writing to young Timothy, his son in the Lord, see, here's the great apostle. Here's this man that's strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he's writing to his son in the Lord, young Timothy, a man that he has raised up and a man that will preach in the first church. And he's the man that will succeed the Apostle Paul, this generation of preachers that are being raised up. He writes a letter to Titus also. But look at 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Paul tells this young man, "Preach the word." See, be instant in season, out of season. Look at this. "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering." I say it like this, long-suffering and doctrine. There'll be some people that you work with and work with and work with, and they should be here. Some of them should be here tonight. I have personally called them myself. I have personally given an invitation to some of them that they're not sitting here. And see, I value their relationship with the Lord more than they value their relationship. People that when you call them and you prepare and you set the table and you're trying to empower them, you know, just well to tell the truth. We need to pray. And on Friday night, we pray for those new converts. They can't afford to miss. I said, if you've ever come out of a tremendous bondage, You've got to be disciple. And you cannot just go sit in church once in a while. If you came out of tremendous bondage, you must have a fresh word. You've got to have somebody that's empowering you. Because those demon spirits, you know, Jesus said when that spirit is gone out, he goes and walks through dry places. It's got a lot to do with the Great Commission. You just got to know what you're dealing with. And he finds seven spirits, demon spirits, more evil than himself. He returns, and the second state of that individual is worse than the first. It's swept. It's garnished. It's sitting in church. It looks good on Sunday, but they're not getting a whole lot of word in. And you got to get the word, because the spirits are going to come back. And if you're going to fight the good fight of faith, you've got to have the sword of the Spirit. You've got to know what this book says. And if you know the name of Jesus, praise God, you're on a good way there. But God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at 2 Timothy 4 and 3. The Bible says, sound doctrine. Says, the time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. And look at this. Shall be turned to fables. I'll never forget sitting in a business meeting one day, a salesman handed me a book, The Gospel by Peanuts. And that's what I thought about. The Gospel by Peanuts, it was for a little child, but, you know, no, the Bible is the gospel, and I don't want the Gospel by Peanuts. I want to know what the gospel has to say. I believe I can meet a child of any generation on their level with the Word of God. I'm not against teaching and things like that, but, you know, some things, they just don't belong. Don't remove the old foundations, praise God. Keep the foundations there. I might get some, go on, praise God, amen. I might get some criticism for that, but it won't bother me one bit if I do, hallelujah, because I'm used to criticism. If you're going to move in the power of the Spirit, get ready to be criticized. So tonight I want to share with you the Lord's last words. Jesus spoke this to his church, the very last words, and I gave it to you five places in the Bible before he returned to heaven. And he returned to heaven and says, when I get there, well, first of all, he's going to put his blood on the mercy seat in the holders of holders. And then he said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send the Comforter. So you've been commissioned. Jesus has placed his blood on the mercy seat. There's power in the blood. He sent the great enabler, the Holy Ghost, so we don't go alone. So I want you to realize that tonight. My subject, the Great Commission. Father, we love you. We love the Word. And we praise you, God, for doing signs and wonders. Lord, empower your church. We are in the last days. We don't have time to play. Lord, we are about our Father's business. And I ask you to anoint every person in here. God, I say it many times. If you'll come to the house of the Lord, the anointing is in the house, and the anointing will go home with you. The blessing that's in the house will go home with you. So tonight, Lord, I just thank you, Holy Ghost, for overshadowing everybody and giving them a fresh vision of what your word declares, and empower us with power from on high. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. The Great Commission. Look at Article 14. It's there in your articles if you have it. It was right there on the screen. Thank you. Here's what we believe. We believe, and I quote, that it is the responsibility of every believer to dedicate his life to carrying out the work of the Great Commission, end of quote. So you see, our Lord's last command on earth was to charge every believer, not just the clergy, every believer. I love that, because there was a time I didn't have credentials to do this. I just was preaching as a lay preacher, but I knew I was empowered because I'd read what the Bible said. The responsibility of every believer to take the gospel to all nations. Now, we can never be content to just experience Jesus Christ for ourselves. The more you get of the Lord, the more you're going to want to share him with other people. The more God does for you, the more you want to testify. Amen. So we must all be actively involved in spreading the gospel to others and also to the end of the earth. The church is to be filled with the life and the love of Jesus Christ. It is the word of faith which we preach. But the Bible says, preach the word in love. If I give my body to be burned, if I don't have love, if I have all kinds of signs and wonders and gifts, the greatest is love. Now, about it, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is love. So we're to love like God loves, and the church is to be filled with love. What is Westmoreland? Let's say it. a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. That's our vision statement right there. But God's church is a church that focuses on human hurts. God's church is a church that focuses on human needs and on the power of the gospel and the spirit of the Holy Ghost to be present to meet that need. It focuses on the Great Commission, go into all the world. It focuses on the great commandment, love one another as I have loved you. It focuses on the great commitment, committed to the gospel, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, committed to serving him, committed to getting involved, committed to making a difference, because we've been endued with power from on high and we have a commission and we don't go alone. Hallelujah. We go in the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. So Jesus gave this command to the church. Now, most people, they know the Great Commission is given in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 28:19, where Jesus said, Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So Article 1 of our doctrine says we are Trinitarian. We believe that they are three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and they're one, is one God in three persons. Amen. Now look at verse 20. It says, go, but teach people. So I'm talking about new converts. We got to teach them. I'm talking about the elderly. I'm talking about everybody in the church. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus said, I've commanded. Look at this. I love this. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus is with us. He said, the works I do shall you do also. So when you start seeing the commission in the light of what the Word of God says, all of a sudden you and get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get a boldness to go and just do what Jesus did. And he says, if you do it, signs and wonders will follow me, follow you. Hallelujah. See, Jesus was serious when he gave his disciples this commission. Now, you have a handout. Five times in the scriptures, Jesus gave the Great Commission. It is found in our text that I just read, Matthew 28. It's also found in Mark chapter 16, Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, John 20, and Acts chapter 1. See, if God has placed something in the scriptures five different times, then it's important. Matter of fact, it's also in John 17, but I saw it there, but I just picked one. It says, as I have been sent, so send I you. So we're sent. We are called out and we are sent and we're empowered. That just thrills my heart. But let's look at these verses in biblical order. Matthew 28:19, I just read it. Go you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now, this is my favorite right here account of the Great Commission. Second is given in Mark chapter 16. This is my favorite because this is what ignited my fire. When I saw the commission given here, I said, I can do that. I can do it in Jesus' name. Listen to this. This is so powerful. And I want you to get this into your spirit, because when you stand before the sick, I want you to pray a prayer of faith and to know that God will heal them. When you stand before the demon possessed, and you will encounter that, cast the devil out in the name of Jesus. Your commission. Now, that scares some people. I sat at a table one day, a bunch of preachers, and one of them said, it's not mine. I'm at headquarters, okay. And this one says, I don't do that, and I don't do that. And I wanted to get up and leave the table, and finally it got to me. And they said, well, what about you? Have you done that? I said, ever since I got saved, and I turned and walked away. I was shocked that clergy that had been preaching for years did not understand the Great Commission that was given to them. You'd be shocked at people that don't understand certain things because they've never seen it in the script. You cannot have faith. Let me say this. You cannot have faith beyond your biblical knowledge. You have nothing to base your faith on. You cannot do exploits until you understand what the Word of God says. Once you understand that, your faith will soar like an eagle. I promise you that. Matthew 16:15. Go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Sounds just like the other, doesn't it? Look at this. This is what I love right here. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, they're damned. That's going to happen. You got to believe in Jesus. Now, this is the part I love. Verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. Got any believers?
Amen.
There are signs that follow you. Hallelujah. They will follow you if you believe that you can do it. Amen. You got to do something. You got to do something. I said you got to do something. These signs shall follow them. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Right there. You have a biblical right. If you've ever been born again, if you love God, if you're seeking God to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to speak with new tongues, you don't have to wonder if it's God's will to fill you with the Holy Ghost. There it is right there, and I'll show it to you in some other places. Hallelujah. But they shall speak with new tongues. Look, verse 18. They shall take up serpents. Now, that doesn't mean we handle snakes. No, it means what happened to Paul. When Paul was on the island and a serpent came out of the fire or out of the heat, the serpent, the devil can't take the fire. He came out of the heat. Amen. And Paul shook him off. They thought he was going to die. And Paul didn't die. They thought he was a god. No, he was just full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Just understood the commission. They shall take up serpents. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Amen. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And we've had instances where people drank something and it was poisonous and it didn't kill them. I said it didn't kill them. It didn't hurt them. Amen. I mean, that's when you understand your position. Then it says they shall lay hands. I love that. On the sick and they shall recover. Been laying your hands on anybody lately? Expect them to recover. I get calls all the time. I told my wife, I said, if anybody finds out you can pray, I said, the world will beat a path to your door. My wife can testify this. I stay on the phone. I said, I don't need to. I do want to preach. I said, I could stay on the phone with the calls I get during the daytime and pray for people and go to the hospital and go visit people and watch God work and do mighty miracles. If you find a person that can pray, the world will beat a path to your door. Go and praise God. I'm telling you, it's the honest truth. Hallelujah. See, I didn't just start doing this. My mother had a prayer minister on the phone. I don't know if I inherited that thing or not, but mother, that's what she did. She was a housewife, and people would call her, and she would pray for them. She would go into the hospital very quiet and sit there and pray for people that had given up to die, and mother would pray for them. And when I got saved, I went and got on my knees before my mother and my dad. I said, pass that on to me. You are anointed. I've watched you all my life. I've seen God work. I know you're full of the Holy Ghost. And I said, I'm going to get down on my knees. I'm going to humble myself before you. And I want you to lay your hands on me and make an impartation. And they did. Hallelujah. I mean, isn't it wonderful to be a part of something, a generation like that? God is generational. But if you're the first one in your family to start out like this, think about this. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to set the standard. I'm going to be God's person. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I love Mark's example there, but look at the Great Commission given in Luke. I love this. Luke 24:46. And Jesus said, you've got it on your hand, that it's on the screen. Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. I love that. Look at verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So he's beginning to expand this, and he's showing signs follow believers. Jesus said, in my name, you can cast out devils. He said, now you're going to be endued with power from on high. But look at John 20, verse 21. Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. So you're going to be a peacemaker. Hallelujah. Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so even so I send you. Look at this. I love this. And he said unto them, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. He'd breathe on them. You know, I've been crazy enough at times to just breathe on people like that to see what God would do. It'll shock you. You're just operating in faith. It seems so beyond the natural mind. And people say, oh, I'm not going to do that. Do it. Do it in faith and watch God work. I mean, you're releasing God. You have the rah of God, the breath of God in you. Hallelujah. Jesus, that's what he did. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Peace be unto you as the Father sent mine. When he laid his hand and breathed on them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Look, I love this. This confused me for the longest time. Verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You mean you can lead people, and you, if you don't lead them, their sins are retained. If you lead them in a prayer, their sins are remitted. I have stood by hospital beds, people that were unconscious, and I have taken that verse, and I've spoken to them. I was in one place, and I said, I really don't understand all of this, sir. I said, but I know you hear my voice. And I'm talking to you in the name of Jesus. And I know you need to be saved. And Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and knocking. I said, and if you will open your heart, he said he would come in. I said, I remit your sins in the name of Jesus. You cannot even talk. And all of a sudden, I spoke in the Holy Ghost tongues. And his son was in there. He said, when you spoke in that tongue, he said, something was in that room. Said, I saw that dial shoot off all the way over. He said, and I thought, well, that's just a coincidence. He said, but you spoke in that strange language again. He said, that dial shot all the way up. Go on, praise God. The scriptures just operate in faith. Hallelujah. There are things that happen that they're mysteries. We look through a glass darkly, but if you're operating on the word of God, you know, if the Holy Ghost gives you something like that in a situation. I went into the Greenville Hospital. Coy Sexton, I've told this before, he's had a motorcycle accident. He's in a coma. They said nobody, he can't hear anybody, doesn't know what's going on. I slipped in the room there, amen, and prayed for him. I said, Coy, this is Jerry Nelson. I said, I know you understand me. I said, you can't talk. I'm going to talk for you. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. If you will open your heart to him, he will come in. I said, he sent me here. You told me at the plant how I would bring God's presence to you. I said, I come to bring his presence tonight. I remit your sin in Jesus' name. Open the door to your heart. Receive him. And I said, now be healed. I got to go. And I left. And the man came out, came to our church over there and testified. He said, all kind of people came. I never heard one word they said. Said, but when you came, when Pastor Nelson came, said, I heard every word he said. Hallelujah. And God healed the man, and he's alive today. Go on, praise God. We're talking about the commission. What are we commissioned to do? To just go to church and have a good feeling? Oh, I love the Spirit. I love to praise God. But we are on a mission. You have been commissioned with a mission by God Almighty. So, hallelujah, start working. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Some of you, I said, start working. Amen. Hallelujah. Get excited about what the Father's doing. Amen. Look at Acts 1 and 8. This is the fifth time it's given. Jesus said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witness unto me, both in Judea and Samaria, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, the uttermost parts of the earth. So, everywhere we go, we can't go into all the world ourselves, but we can send others, and we can go into all our world, and that's what the commission is. So Jesus couldn't be everywhere at one time, so he commissioned a church, a body, and he said, I want you to go in my name. I want you to tell the good news. I want you to let people know salvation is available. When you find those that are oppressed and demon-possessed, cast the devil out of them. Lay hands on people, and if they're sick, and they'll be healed. He said, and then I want you to receive that power of the Holy Ghost. So when you start looking scripturally, I want you to notice that the Great Commission is personal. It's not just for clergy. It's for every person. It's very personal. Jesus made it very personal. Aren't you excited that Jesus will use you, that you can go and you are carrying God inside of you, and you're carrying good news, and you're anointed to do it, and you're commissioned by the Lord Jesus. So the Great Commission is not something that just the preacher does. It's not something that just church leaders do. It's not something just others do. The Great Commission is personal, and every member of the body of Christ should do it. So the commission, first of all, is to go. Are you going? As you go to work, tell the good news. As you're going to school, as you're going to the marketplace, as you're going about your daily activities, tell the message of the cross. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Teresa tells me, she said, Jerry, you don't let anybody get away from you if you don't tell them about Jesus. I had some men come today, and I said, where do you go to church? And I handed the man my card, and he stood there a minute, and I can't remember everything I said to him. He got to laughing. I said, you know, God loves you. His presence is here. And he felt it. You know, it's just exciting to me that you can go into a den of thieves, and the power of God will go in and overshadow that place. You are commissioned. Hallelujah. You are sent. See, so the first part of the commission is personal, and it says to go. But the second part of the commission is to make disciples of all kinds of people. Think about that. That's why we get them saved. That's wonderful. But how are we going to keep them? We got to get them in the church. We got to pray for them. You got to make some phone calls. Not just our connection group. Let God lay somebody on your heart. Take a new convert personally. I get so angry with them sometimes. I'm telling you. I showed up and recently somebody had been saved, and you know, the stuff that was going on, I get so angry. I said, you can't do that. That's the stuff you put on. You can't run with that crowd. I've been in pool halls and pulled them out. I have. And I come out one day, I said, somebody going to see. Said, I saw Pastor Nelson come out of the pool hall. I don't care what they say. If it's somebody in there that needs for me to go pull them out of a den of thieves and liars and all kind of stuff like that, I'll go in there. Hallelujah. I'm commissioned. I'm not afraid. Hallelujah. I know preachers that are afraid. I wouldn't do that. I went into a drug-infested place, and I walked in that place. I prayed for I went in there, and I brought somebody out of there. And I don't think the police was going into place, to be honest with you. But I went in there. I'm not afraid to do it. I've never been afraid to do things like that since I got saved. I said if I thought the devil was behind the door, I'd kick it down just to see if he was there. Your commission. God will send you and God will empower you. Go and praise God. Hallelujah. See, we are the church. And, you know, Jesus, that's what he did. He caught the woman in adultery. And all those religious people said, oh, we caught her. We were looking through the keyhole. We've been here all night long trying to catch her. We finally did. And Jesus got down. And this, you got to do this sometimes. He got down and he touched the dirt. Sometimes you will have to touch some dirt to do what I'm talking about. I'm not calling people dirt, but that's where they are. They're down in the dirt. Jesus wrote on the ground. He touched the dirt. And he said, where are your accusers? He said, he's without sin. You cast the first stone. I promise you, people will respect the name of Jesus. You don't need to be afraid to go anywhere to do anything for Jesus. They will respect you. I've seen the worst and the most callous of sinners. I've seen great big men that would stand up and say something to me, and I'd reach out and take their hand like that, and I'd say, are you saved? And I'd mention Jesus, and they just back up. It's like they just cower down. I mean big people. You don't have to be afraid. That's what I'm telling you. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, God will take care of you. Hallelujah. See, we are the church. That's what I'm trying to say. And the church is made up of individuals who've been washed in the blood and empowered by the Spirit. But one washing isn't enough. See, the blood of Jesus cleanses from the penalty of sin. We're talking about discipleship now. But the washing of the word, it cleanses from the pollution of sin. This is not in the notes. Look up John 17:17, if you would. See, we're not of this world, but we're in the world. We're commissioned to go into all the world. We're not of the world. We just happen to be in. My citizenship and your citizenship is in heaven. I'm a citizen of America, and I can vote here. But my real citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. John 17:17. Look at this. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When I saw that, Jesus said, for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified. And he said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When I saw that, I realized how much people need to be taught. It's the washing. Paul in Colossians, he says, the washing of the water by the word. You can go to church all your life. If you don't make much of this book, you won't ever have a whole lot of faith. You won't cast out many devils. You won't get many people saved. You can do all kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, you must make much of this book. This is Lester Summerall's Legacy of Faith Study Bible. That man, he cast out devils. I studied under him. He took the Great Commission seriously. He was on the commission on the foreign field, and God told him, said, go home. America is in trouble. I want you to raise up preachers, and I'm a product of what that man came back to do right there. I owe him so much. I've studied everything he's ever had, and I've taken it back to the Bible. And I owe a lot of people some things, but that is the man. I prayed. I said, God, I got saved. I said, I need a general. I need somebody that can make an impartation to me. I've got a lot to make up for, Lord, and I need somebody to teach me. I got to go with him to Israel. I would go to places with him, but God sent him to me by his books, his tapes back then, teaching syllabuses. And I went to South Bend to be in his meetings. I rode all over just to be with the man. He made such an impartation to me. Great man of God. And he didn't preach fuzzy little stuff. He was down in the trenches casting out devils, telling stories. First time I cast a devil out of somebody, I did it just like Lester did it. And I said, whoa, it worked. It shocked me. It worked, though. So if you don't know how to do it, come, I'll teach you how to do it. I promise you. Hallelujah. Is that all right? I want to get this church empowered. We're going to start a series after this one on the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to teach the manifestation gifts. Because if you want it, you can get it. And if you're watching by any type of media, if you want the gifts of the Spirit, come out here. I'll teach you and I'll lay my hands on you and make an impartation. Amen. You got to know you can do it. Hallelujah. Who are you? Are you somebody to brag? No, I'm somebody God called out of darkness. I'm somebody God sent. I'm somebody that studied the word of God. I'm somebody that loves God. I'm somebody that loves people. And I see the dying, crying, sighing, broken, fragmented people and all the around me. And something in me rises up to set the captive free. And I want you to get that same spirit. That's what Westmoreland's all about. A loving, growing church. Bringing hurting families, hurting people to a loving Jesus. Hallelujah. But the blood of Jesus cleanses from the penalty of sin. But that's the washing that cleanses from the pollution. That's why many Christians, they need to come to church. They need to be in this sanctuary. They need to be disciples. So they can be equipped to win the lost. My job is to equip you. I am sent to teach you, to equip you, so you can go out and do the work of the Great Commission. My job is not just to go. I'm going to go to the hospital and pray because I do that. I'm going to go in homes and pray. I just do that. I love to do that. It's in my heart to do that. But my job as a pastor, is I got other giftings other than pastoral gifts. And you got to know your gifts. You've got gifts that need to be wakened. You've got gifts that need to be wakened. I said you got gifts. They need to be wakened. And you can smile about it and you can look, make light of it. I got gifts, okay? I've got apostolic gifts. I've got prophetic gifts. I've got evangelistic gifts. I've got teaching gifts, and I've got preaching gifts. And all of them came from the Holy Ghost. And so anybody that has a problem with that, go talk to the Holy Ghost, because he called me, and he empowered me, and he sent me. And it's time for people to, I don't go around and say I'm Apostle Jerry Nelson. I don't even go around saying I'm Dr. Nelson. I don't go around saying I'm Pastor Nelson. I just call, if you'll call me Brother Nelson, hallelujah, accept me in the body. I don't have to turn my collar around backwards to say who I am. Hallelujah. If I can't preach it and if I can't demonstrate it, I don't need any credentials from anybody to say who I am. I am what I am by the grace of God, and so are you. And if you'll get about the Father's business, great signs and wonders will be happening. And that's true for anybody in the body. Hallelujah. So I hope everybody's all right with that. But when you come to this church, I promise you something. You're going to hear the Word of God, and you're going to be washed in the Word. The Great Commission says we're to win souls and we're to disciple people. Soul winning is important, but it's just the beginning. I can't remember how that we were talking about the gifts of the gateway, and Brother Ricky said the gateway, they're not the end, the apex, it's the gateway into the glory of God. And so we're going to start a series on showing, see, in Pentecost, these are my roots, but I'm an observant man. Most people think if you've ever spoken in tongues, you have arrived. That is just the beginning. That is the gateway, the doorway into the Spirit and into the gifts of God. And the Holy Ghost gives the gifts as He wills. He does. He distributes the gift. Jesus went and He led captivity to captivity. He gave gifts to men, and the Holy Ghost empowers people. The church must always remember there are no hot house saints. That means that you don't get saved one day and you become a mature Christian another day. You got to be taught. True discipleship takes years of study, years of prayer, years of seeking God to develop a person who is really empowered by the Spirit. It comes from years of teaching, nurturing. It comes from growing in grace and knowledge. It comes from a heart that says, God, I am not satisfied. I've seen you do this, I've seen this and this, but God, I'm not satisfied. I used to say it a lot. I'll say it again. The only thing I'm satisfied with in my Christian experience is the fact I have never been satisfied. If you ever get satisfied with where you are, you're in a dangerous place. That should be something inside of you that makes you reach out to God. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 28 and 20. Jesus says, teaching them. See, I'm talking about teaching, commissioning people, sending people to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always to the end of the world. See, the Bible is our subject matter. So we got to teach. Our curriculum is 66 books found in the Word of God. You know, that's our curriculum. And notice the word in Matthew 28 and 20, it says, teaching them all things. See, we're not just to teach part of it. He said our assignment is to teach it all. Nothing's to be left out. I hear some people, they penknife the Word of God to push their little doctrine. If I couldn't take the articles and say this is what the Word of God says, and I just wouldn't preach the articles. But I know our articles are sound. And I want you to take, if you don't have a copy, some at the Welcome Center, reworked and put, you know, each one of them, tried to clean it up a little bit, simplify it as much as I could, but put the article out there. Take that thing and study it and say, Lord, is this what I'm to do? Is this what I'm to understand? And we have covered so much Bible, Brother Ricky, in those teachings. We covered so much that it's amazing, you know, how much word has been put out just by teaching articles. Jesus said, I command you to make disciples of all nations. But I love this. He said, I don't expect you to do it alone. He said, lo, I am with you always. So See, when you understand he's with you, you're not afraid to go into a place. If you know God is sending you, you're not afraid. You're not intimidated to pray the prayer. You're not the healer anyway. Lay your hands on and pray. If they get healed, God heal them. But he needs a heart, and he needs some hands, and he needs some feet, and he needs people to go. And that's why Jesus left the church. He said, the works I do shall you do also. Greater works than these shall you do because I go unto the Father. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be with you, but I'm going to send the great enabler, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So as your pastor, I promise you, at this church, you're going to hear the Word of God. The Word of God will wash you. You'll get some good, sound Bible teaching. And I believe that if we will accept the challenge, you know, that God will do more than we've ever imagined. We've got a great commission. We've got a great challenge. But we've got the great enabler, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Did you know that the fastest growing religion in America is not Christianity? It's Islam, the Muslims. They have invaded our prisons. That ought to make you mad right there. In other words, the church as a whole is not carrying out the Great Commission in America. We just aren't as a whole. And you've got neighbors, I've got neighbors, and it amazes me that people that aren't religious and they don't want to hear a whole lot, if you can ever break the barrier, they say, my grandmother went to one of those churches. Do you know my daddy? And it amazes me that the people I meet, that if I dig long enough, I'll find out they got a Pentecostal background somewhere. And God is just reaching out, reaching and reaching and reaching. Every generation must hear the gospel. And the greatest field of evangelism is right around us. Amen. We start every year here at Westmoreland with 21 days of prayer and fasting. I do that for a reason. At the first of the year, we're setting the course for the rest of the year. I said at the first of the year, we're setting the course for the rest of the year. And that's important. Pastor Rick, if you would come to the piano, please. Have you invited anyone to church lately? See, that's the difference between a growing church and a church that isn't growing. If you haven't invited anyone lately, wonder why it's not growing. Do you think it's the music? We got great music, brother. Hallelujah. Do you think it's the preaching? Well, the preaching's okay, I think. You think it's the Royal Rangers or the Missionettes? Do you think it's because we don't have the power of God here? Or could it be that we're not inviting people? Come out to Westmoreland. The power of God is there. Oh, we experience God. We got great testimonies. Come out and just enjoy God's presence. I tell a lot of sinners, I said, you don't have to come run to the altar. Just come out and enjoy the music. Come out and enjoy God's presence. And I invite and I invite and I invite. And I cannot tell you what a thrill it is when I look and I see one of those people coming into the church. What a thrill. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not the preacher, not the fivefold ministry, the believer. And so you're commissioned, and God is sending you. I'm thankful for all the things people do in the church. I love my church. I'm not being possessive with it. I mean the body that I'm associated with. I love you. That's what I'm saying. We are the church. I love the church. I'm so thankful to be a part of the church. But I love people. And my heart reaches out to those that are so broken. Because eternity, it is waiting. And hell is not going to be for a day. It's not going to be a week, a month, a year, or 10,000 years. It will be for eternity as the ceaseless, endless ages roll on and on and on. And God just placed something in my heart that says, go out and tell. And then God placed something in my heart to pray for the sick and to believe him for signs and wonders. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
Hallelujah.
There's an army rising up.
You're part of that army, and you are commissioned to by the Lord Jesus himself.
Chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power.
He's us, the chain breaker. Woo!
There is power.
Glory! Jesus! Hallelujah!
Jesus.
Woo!
Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain. To
glory.
Break every chain.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Oh, there's an army.
Thank you, Lord. You have chosen us. And we're part of that army.
There's an army.
You are a royal generation. Holy nation. A peculiar people. Hallelujah. Part of the army.
Yes, there's an
army. Right. Hallelujah.